In this series, I'm talking about God with us. That's what I'm hoping to drive in. God in us. God with us and God in us. And then God through us. That's the process we're in. So some weeks, I don't know how long, some weeks. I cannot tell you how long that drives me administration staff lazy, crazy, I mean. They're like, what are you talking about? How long is this going to be? I have no idea. I don't know how long this series is going to be. Some weeks. I'm going to refer to the Holy Spirit, mostly not the Holy Ghost. Why? Because I don't like the word ghost. It's in the Word. It's awesome. It's God put it in. It's great. I choose to use the Holy Spirit mostly because people say ghost. That's what I hear. Woo. And then people get woo weird about the Holy Spirit. I'm like, no. We're not getting woo over here. It's going to be different. Emmanuel, God with us, God in us, and God working through you. Say, I am his church, right? Yeah. So this Emmanuel series is kind of going to be like a study in the beginning. Oh, I know. I lost you right there. Hopefully, it's going to be a study that's going to end in application. I believe at the end of this series, there's some people who are going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And God's going to do something crazy in your life that you could never possibly think. And it's going to change the course of your soul's history, and he's going to deposit things in you and bring alive things in you. Holy Spirit, that's how I think the series is going to end. How are we going to get there? Depends how good I can drive, you know. Say, Emmanuel, God with you. See, us, his church, being part of God's end time win is what this series is about. What do you mean? Say the word win with me. Stands for something. What's important now? Business stuff, marketing. Jared Dunn, master of it, buddy of mine. Seriously, we talk about wins all the time. What's important now? Sometimes your life gets so crazy. Ever been pulled in 1,000 directions? I'm not already off my notes. This is going to be a difficult day. Ever been pulled in 1,000 directions and you have a hard time going, what's important now? Like this is important and this is important and this is important, but I got an hour and I got 55 important things. Ever been there? So it's important to take time to go, what's important right now? Well, someday my retirement, we better get a job now before you think about retirement. What's important now is a J-O-B. Retirement's later, after a job, right? What was important now? Job. God is kind of stirring in me the importance of this message right now. This series is important for now. Right now. Winning, you know. Winning has honestly been the highest priority of God for a long time. Winning is the reason God has a battle strategy against the enemy, right? If you're going to beat darkness, you got to have a battle strategy, right? So one of the things that we learned, how to beat darkness. You ever feel like you're in a war with darkness? Anybody ever recognize that there's darkness on the earth and it's creeping all over everything? If anybody not recognize that, because I'll just point you to news. You just got to flip it on. You know, there it is, darkness. Gloom and thick darkness. Right? So we have this battle strategy. And if you're a note taker, you may want to put this because this is not on the slides. But one of the things, the main thing that we have in our winning strategy to beat back darkness is the blood of Jesus. Right? You can praise break there. I was this morning remembering everything that God delivered me from. And how I don't deserve breath. Right? Think about it just for a second. And then you think about where you are right this second. You could be in a hard place. But you're not surrounded by darkness right this second. And the blood of Jesus broke us free from that, right? Jesus' atonement and forgiveness of our sins set us free from the power of hell in our lives, right? Woo! Right? That's a Don't come to Washington if you don't want to see me like that. I'm serious. Apostle told me, he said, I want you not teaching. I want you flowing in the Holy Spirit. And he said, I don't want you worried about anything Pastor Heidi's going to think. He said, I don't want you to worry about anything that Bishop's going to think. He said, I would like you to be so touched with God that you were on stage. You just flow in the prophetic gift that you have. And you stop teaching and preaching and pastoring for just why you're here. I'm feeling it building in me. I'm having to pull back on that because I'm ready. That's why I knew you had a word from God this morning, because I spent time with him. And as soon as I heard it, I knew Jelly's not going to say anything. You better go tell her she's got a word from me. And it was important. Who thought that word of God was important this morning? That was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit with us, in us, working through her to deliver something to somebody here that needed something from God. Holy Spirit's great. And even greater things are coming than that. Right? The blood of Jesus. Say, next step. Next step. The next step of winning is you got to convert the enemy's soldiers. What? Mm-hmm. Convert the enemy soldiers. I used to be a soldier for the enemy. You got to serve somebody. No, what do you mean? You either serve the Lord or you serve the enemy. You got to serve somebody. Just when you think, well, I wasn't serving Jesus, well, then you were serving who? Yourself. Well, my flesh says it's an enemy of the cross. Enemy. Give me another thing. Well, I was serving Norse gods. Enemy of God. What else you got? Right? We are all once were enemies of God. Our job is to go find the soldiers and set them free like we were. That's the win, right? How do we get that done? How do we convert enemy soldiers? We're supposed to, hey, oh, I know, the church's job, right? Baptize and make disciples. Is that the church's job? Is it? Yeah. Say, I am the church. Now, don't mean condemnation right here, but how many people have you baptized? How many people have you brought to Christ? I'm not pushing in your face. I'm telling you it's the season. I feel like the coach up here, Ethan. I want them to get 2-a-days, and they only want to do 1-a-days. It's tournament time. You got to buck up. Church better buck up. You got to hear that. Stop looking up here for me to evangelize the world. Every Sunday you say, I am the church. I know, I'm not in Washington, I should get up here. I'll settle down, I'll be sweet, quiet little Pastor Sean. You are asked to be living letters, right? You're show and tell to the world. Why? To impact. You're a show and tell letter. So here's win strategy number 3, right? After we receive the blood of Jesus, we go convert enemy soldiers. What are we supposed to do next? We're supposed to fill them up. The presence of God is key if we're going to win this war. But we can't give anybody else encouragement or impartation of the presence of God in our lives unless we do one thing. We seek ourselves for the filling of the presence of God in our own lives. You want the church filled with the Holy Spirit? Who wants the church filled with the Holy Spirit moving in power? Say, I am the church. You just said you wanted yourself filled with the Holy Spirit moving in power. You see where this is going? We're on a journey, and we're going to get there. We are going to get there. So after we convert enemy soldiers and we fill them with the Holy Spirit, right? And then what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to send those disciples out. Say, I'm a disciple. Mm-hmm. We got to go out and rescue more, repeat the cycle. That's the church. What I just described is the win cycle of the church. That's our job. And for a season in our lives, I feel like we've been distracted from our job. We've been about self-preservation. Come on. Angelica told us to be vulnerable today. The Holy Spirit told her that. Don't harden up on me now. Like, this is a necessary part of our lives. This is important. This got to impact us. I want to be part of God's church, right? And we got to do this cycle. So I am part of God's plan to defeat darkness, right? That's what I'm saying here. If I am a part of God's plan to defeat his darkness, do you believe that? Do you believe that's the church's plan, is to be part of his plan to defeat darkness, right? Then we need God. Say, I need God. We need God. More than we've ever needed God before, we need God. And he is ready and been waiting for this next level for the church for a long time. not caught him by surprise at all, right? So this series is Emmanuel, God with us. It's how we, the church, are powered up to do what? To do our part. You know, it's great, I got a car, but if I don't put gas in it, it's not getting me nowhere. It's a nice car. Awesome. It can carry things. Get me places. Most churches look just like that, but we lack our gas. It's time to get our gas back. It's time to start filling up on our gas on a regular, right? Well, I remember I was baptized in the Holy Spirit in 1976, and the power of God moved through me, and I prophesied for half an hour. Awesome. What have you done for him lately? Right? Emmanuel, God with us, God for us, God designed to reside in us. Say, God with us. Let's just get into Scripture, Pastor. Matthew 1, 23. Let's start there for a second, because I'm slow rolling this series. Because by the end of it, you're going to be so, have to make a decision. I'm going to argue a case for God desiring to be in your life in a way that he is not in your life maybe currently. Even if you've been baptized, born again, flow in the power of God sometimes. Guess what? He wants more. So I'm trying to be up here. You're going to be, ever been called to jury duty? Ever sit in, I might have said, I've been called, but I got out a couple times. Ever had to be in jury duty? I had to sit in jury duty once. Like, none of y'all had to be in jury duty? You got to teach me, man. I get it. You know, but I've been there. And you got to listen to both sides, weigh out an argument to convince you. And once I gets up, you're like, man, that guy's a dirty snake. And then the other guy gets go, hold up, man. And you're like, this guy's a dirty snake. You got to listen to the argument before you make a decision. I'm going to be arguing a case during this series how what this topic of the Holy Spirit, God in our lives, is the most important thing you're ever going to need as a believer in the church. And this is the season you need it more than ever before. That's where my argument's going. And I'm going to take time. Case sometimes lasts 4 or 5 months. I'm not going to be at the series at 4 or 5 months. But I'm going to give it its just due. It's that important. I've preached more dynamic things. We have fantastic displays. There's been funny videos. I may do crazy stuff during this. But what I'm going to do is to see your heart seared with this one truth. Without what we're talking about from God, we're not going to finish our assignment and do what God asked us to do. And we're definitely not going to do it well, right? Matthew 21, 23. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and give birth to a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Say, hold up. Didn't they call him Jesus? That tripping you up right there? Hey, man, didn't God just say, this is what his name should be? What'd you come up with, Jesus? Then they shall call his name Emmanuel. When translated, it means God with us. You know what's a crazy thing that happened after this? They, us, the rest of the world, they will say of Jesus, he was and is God with us. He was telling them, you need me with you. You couldn't rescue yourself. I had to be with you. I'm sending Jesus, and he's going to be known as God with us. Okay. All right. Let's go to Ezekiel. Let's get rid of that for a second. Let's go to Ezekiel. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Wait a minute. Let's keep that up. I will put my spirit, who's talking here? God's talking. He says, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. How many think that'd be great? What this is saying is, my spirit's going to get in you and you're going to choose the right things. How many of you need that power? Oh my goodness. Imagine having the power to choose right things when you want to choose wrong things. I never want to choose wrong things. Oh my gosh, Jill, they're not being vulnerable. Seriously, one of the greatest things in my life, when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, yes, I got some wonderful gifts. I have a prayer language, and I have a prophetic gift, and I thank Jesus for them. But I'll tell you the biggest power the Holy Spirit's ever been in my life, it allowed me to say no to stuff when I wanted to say yes to stuff. I didn't do it all the time, but the only time I did it was the power of God in me. My spirit in you will cause you to walk differently. You can only do it so much in our flesh. You can only be so good. God says, you need me. This is Old Testament. This is before he sent God with us. He said, you know what's going to happen? Eventually, I'm going to be with you, and then I'm going to have to do something else. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you'll keep my ordinances, and you'll do them. Oh my gosh, you know what my doing record is? Right? Without God, I do nothing for him. Oh, without God, I'm no even near this culture and society. Without God. So, is he right? Is it going to take God and me to do all that? It absolutely is going to take God and you to do all that. We got our brothers and sisters in Afghanistan that are being martyred right now. You can't tell me it doesn't take God in you to stand there and have a gun put to your head and your brains blown out because you love Jesus. You can't tell me the Holy Spirit's not in somebody and say, hey, look, if you just don't, you just confess this, we won't drag you by horses through the streets to your death. All you got to say is deny him. And we act tough from over here. Oh, we act so tough. But it takes the Holy Spirit in that moment to go. I won't say more so, but in that moment, it takes just as much to walk on water as it does to say, drag me to death. The church needs some more of God in its life. We need the power to do those things again. All right? It says this. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Is that what my next part is? Yeah. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know and understand that you, the church, you are the temple of God? Hold up. Wait a minute. You mean this beautiful facility? This palatial estate with various air conditioning holes that are made by the rain? This place? God's garden that grows on the inside? That mold is a plant. It's a garden. This isn't the temple? Oh, you mean Jerusalem's not the temple? You know, back the Holy Land is certainly the temple. Nah. Look at your neighbor and say, it's you, bro. You're the temple. You're the temple. Did you not know that you are the temple of God and that? I'm the temple of God. That's hard enough. Get it? Okay, I'm the temple of God. And that? The Spirit of God dwells permanently in you. Now he's talking to the Corinthians right here. You know what happened recently? Enemy soldiers were converted. They got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the gifts and ministries of the Holy Spirit were breaking out in the church like crazy. And God was revolutionizing Corinth from this Greek culture society of hedonism and education. This culture of hedonism and education is more highly honored, right? He came in there, filled them with the Holy Spirit, and stuff was happening. And he says, don't you know you're the temple of the Holy Spirit? And he's going to permanently dwell within you. And then it says, collectively and individually. Who's the temple? The Spirit of God is supposed to dwell in us and in me, right? Some of these churches in Corinth, man, they got converted. They got crazy. They began to change the world with Emmanuel's plan, right? The Holy Spirit was being with them and working through them, and this battle strategy was happening. Whew. All right, let's switch gears. Let's go back to the Old Testament again. Let's go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 34:9. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, Joshua, it's a great leader, right? Was filled with the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. What? I thought the laying out of hands for the Spirit of God in anything was definitely a New Testament principle only. Pastor Larry's part of one of his great messages coming up said, so you got to know someone's history. if you're going to know them. I'm not going to steal it, but it's true. You got to know someone's scars, boo-boo, scratches, and claws, and devastations, and to know really them. God's pretty consistent. Old Testament, New Testament says, my spirit wants to dwell with you. It's always wanted to dwell with you. And I only want to dwell with you, I want to dwell in you. And I don't just want to dwell in you, I want to work through you. That's the win. That's what we signed up for. That's the grand plan of God. It's beautiful, right? So the sons of Israel listened to him and did as the Lord commanded. Do what? That reminds me, some great preacher last week said that. Do what the Lord commanded. How about this? Say this with me. Do what the king desires. Do what the king desires. Right? It's all about the king. So, New Testament channel. I'm going to flip over. This is my melancholy compulsive mind. We're going to flash back and forth between scriptures. And I want you to keep them up in your head because I'm building a case for the most important thing in your life. And without it, you'll never fulfill the call of God that he's placed on you from the beginning of time. Because you can't do God's calling on your own strength. And he knew that. And it's time the church get God inside him again. Acts 8:17. Then Peter and John laid their hands on them one by one, and they received the Holy Spirit. We might just do that too in another few weeks. Maybe you've never had hands laid on you for the Holy Spirit baptism. Or maybe you have. Or maybe you never even consider it. We're going to talk to some of you guys today too. The Holy Spirit. Is this hocus pocus? We're going to see what God's going to do. We're going to have a service. I'm thinking. God, lots of times I start thinking God changes his mind. You know, I'm glad you're thinking that. I'm doing this. I'm going to tell you what I'm thinking. And I feel God's hand in it. Can I say it that way? I feel like we're going to end this series with a Sunday full of worship and the laying on the hands of disciples and see some baptized in the Holy Spirit, and signs and wonders will follow those that believe. So I want to build this case so by the time you get there, you're ready to chew your arm off to get a hold of God. I feel like some of you feel it now. I'm looking out there and I'm seeing the Holy Spirit is just grabbing your chest. And you can't even look at me. Some of you are like, I'm looking at you now. Because you said it. What are you saying? That's not me. Old Testament, New Testament, God thought this was important. Say, God in me. God with me. God through me. Emmanuel. That's the series, right? God through us. So here's a few facts about God, right? So he's three in one. Ever hear that? There's a song, my kids growing up. God is three in one, three. It's the Donut Man. Everybody ever know the Donut Man? He was like, you're like the Donut Man. Are you kidding me? Yeah, this guy was singing kids' Christian songs, you know. God is three in one, three in one. And I just hear that in my head all the time. But we have God the Father, right? God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, right? All God, but three. Okay. It's kind of hard, isn't it? I'm trying to get us to do something in this series. I want us to stop separating the Holy Spirit from God. Yeah. It's all God. Yeah. It's all God. It's all there. It's all the same. It's God's Spirit. It's God. The Father, the Son are one. Okay, yeah, big stuff. The Holy Spirit, Emmanuel, God, he's one. Desires of gentleness. I kind of get it. What's the purpose of God in you, right? So if he wants that, if we're looking at this and we're saying there's three in one, and this is God himself wanting to reside in me, the temple, why? What is the purpose of God in me? It's power to do whatever the king commands. See, some people want the power of God so they can prophesy. Or the power of God so they can speak in tongues. They want the power of God to lay hands on the sick and see recovery. They want the power of God in their lives. Great, want the power of God. But if it's not yielded to the one who the power belongs to, we won't please the king, even with the king's power tools. You know, power tools are safer in Pastor Heidi's hands lots of time than mine. I'm good at demolition. Oh, I'm great at demolition. You give me anything, and I can turn it into a weapon of destruction. Any power tool you give me, I can tear stuff down. Same power tool that she can use to build stuff. I've seen people hurt with the power and presence of God in people's lives. Gifts used wrongly, faked, flaky, garbage, sold out, nonsense, pretend. I can go on and on how I've seen God's name dragged through the mud based on this was the Holy Ghost. I'm going to smash some of that too. I'm tired of that. God can move without us being flaky. But sometimes he says, get on your face and cry right now on your face. You better respond that way too, no matter how flaky people around you think you are. Because that's the only one you're going to be looking up when your breath is over with is his. And he'll know if you got on your face or not. And he'll know why. So I'm asking us to seek the power of God during this series for no other reason than to please the King. Don't go looking for the power of God in your life to do anything but please the King. Sometimes pleasing the King is the power of God in me to say no to stuff I was saying yes to. Sometimes that's more powerful than, thus says the Lord, Jen. I'm just trying to help us because those moments are powerful and I thank God she obeyed him in the moment. But wouldn't you like that same power when you go home to not yell at your fill in the blank? When you feel like yelling at your fill in the blank. Purpose of Emmanuel is to do the will of the King.
Right.
Imagine the power of God and his kids working together in such unity that the church, we stop looking back at Acts as what the church was, the glorious age of the church. What if we become the glorious age of the church? What if that was his intention the whole time? But without him, we're not going to be the glorious age of the church. But with him, with him, I like my odds even when I'm a mess. As long as God's with me, drag me into a fight. This guy behind me? Yeah, we got this. Right? You could send me into anybody else, though, without God. I think I got this punk. Oh, yeah, that's Bruce Lee. That skinny little guy? Yeah, you just got beat up by a skinny little guy. Why? You didn't take God with you. You thought you could handle it because you're tough. God has more for his church than that. It's the season. It's the season God starts doing such crazy things in us. The world around us can't help but change and get either converted or irritated. It's going to happen. One of the two, I have to warn you. It's not in my notes. One of the two things happen. Not in your notes, so scroll up. There you go. God said it's time to please the King, right? So my lawyerness here this morning, this quest, I'm scrambling through my notes. I'm looking at the time. I don't want to keep you forever. I'm looking for some highlights for you. I want to lay it out clearly. So if you have never quested deeper, if you have never gone deeper, and I'm serious, but now you kind of desire for God to fill and inhabit your life, and you kind of feel it stirring in you right now. Like if you feel a little stirring in you right now, I want you to start thinking this. This series is for me. Like, if you feel it in your chest, something rumbling, this series is for you. If you know God is drawing you closer and you've been seeking him for more, anybody been doing that? I just want more. This series is for you. Maybe it's time you've been thinking even about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. You've been reading it and you've been like, what's this all about? Anybody been doing that? Maybe this series is for you. See, how about this? All right, I'll get the rest of you right here. Maybe you've resisted the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've been confused about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you've seen a lot of garbage and junk and mumbo jumbo, and you're kind of sick of all that garbage. You were raised in a different way, and the Holy Spirit is just, when you get saved, that's when the Holy Spirit's in life. You don't need him again until you meet him in the pearly throne. Maybe that was you. You were raised that way? This series is for you. We got to stop resisting God. Amen. He loves us so much. Amen. He wants to be in us, with us, through us. This series is about coming back together with the one he loves and changing the world. That's what this series is about. Emmanuel. God himself, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, in his temple again. Residing in his temple again. Changing the world. I have little clocks right here that said, look at the time, bro. I could end here and go another 10 minutes. Another 10? I'm just going to do another 10. Because this worship team, this drives them crazy. And they roll with me so good. Like, Pastor, how do you want to end service? A lot of times the Lord will show me something. Like I had last week, I had that prayer music on. The Lord showed me, woke me up. What I think makes them a little nervous on Sunday morning. I go, well, Pastor, I went in service. I go, I don't know. I'm just going to wait on the Holy Spirit. We'll just figure it out as we go. What do you want us to play? Maybe. Who do you want to play? Someone. When? I don't know. They ask for 10 more minutes. And then in about 10 minutes, I'll just, someone wants to wander up on stage and play. You can. Be great. Anybody, actually, you know. Say, Emmanuel, God with us. Genesis 1, 1 through 2. Say, oh, you went all the way back. Yeah, I'm being a great lawyer this morning, Jody. I'm going all the way back to the history, Pastor Larry, of God. The history of God right here. In the beginning, you don't get any more farther back than that. The beginning, what? Everything. The beginning, not a beginning, the beginning. Okay. In the beginning, God created, by forming from nothing, the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, or a waste of emptiness, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Second sentence. The Spirit of God was moving over the face of the waters. He's always been a three-part being. He's all God. From the beginning, it took his Spirit brooding over the earth. To what? To make it what it was supposed to be. How many earthen vessels we have out there. God's brooding. He is brooding in your life. I can see him brooding. It's hard to be here sometimes in the anointing of God when I see what God is doing in your lives, because I get sometimes crazy excited. Now, don't get shameful. I'm not talking about those things. I pray you get delivered, healed, set free, and you can get yourself right with God with those things. That's your job with God, not mine. But I also see the good things of God stirring in your life and what he wants if you'll just be the temple again. You'll just go after him like nothing else matters, and the power of God in your life is more important than pleasing anybody else but the king. So here was in the beginning, right? His Spirit hovering. Say, God is his Spirit. Okay, there's not God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Right? That's how we've been doing it. God the Father. Yeah, he's just out there. God the Son. Oh, Jesus. And God the Holy Spirit. Kind of whistle him in. He comes in and does some tricks for us once in a while. Holy Spirit, over here. Here, Holy Spirit. We need some help. Holy Spirit. That's kind of how we treat him, right? We wouldn't treat God that way. I'm trying to help the church understand that the Holy Spirit is God himself and has always been God himself, brewing over the face of the earth, right? He is that. He is his word. He is his Spirit. And you can't separate them. We like to pick and choose that way. We can't. The Holy Spirit is God himself. Do I have some pictures? No, I didn't put them up this one. Not these pictures. I don't think I did. Maybe. No, I didn't. The Holy Spirit was explained a couple different ways that I thought was interesting. God the Father, three in one, right? One of the ways was an egg. Well, I got other pictures later. This is going to be everywhere. So not the pictures yet, but it had this egg. I don't want to over-graphic my team this week. It's been a rough week. And they looked at my scripture this one part. What? You're covering all that in a Sunday? No way, dude. So I had to cut some pictures. Picture, anybody ever not seen an egg? Great, great crowd. Okay, you've seen an egg. So if you hard-boil an egg, right? You have the shell, the white, and the yolk. Which one of that is part of the egg? It's all the egg? You can't have the egg without any of those parts. I will grant, that's a great analogy. You know, St. Patrick came along and said, God is like this shamrock. One stem, three leaves, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They're like, well done, St. Patrick. Good analogy. Love it, you know. Sometimes I think in terms of like, God is like pudding. Pudding, Pastor. Well, you need the powder, you need the milk, and you need someone to mix it in. God with us. Right? All that ingredients, powder by itself isn't pudding. Milk is definitely not pudding. And if you put milk and powder next to each other, they don't become pudding. I have to mix them in. How about the wind, right? The wind's power of God, right? Take your phone out for a second. Go ahead, take your phone out. You got a phone? Take your phone. Take a picture of yourself right now. Get a selfie right now. Go on. I'm going to wait here all day. I got time. Take a selfie right now. Okay? You got it? Why am I doing this? Why, well, Pastor, why are you wasting time? I'm hungry. It's Ellie's birthday. I got watermelon waiting for me by my pool. Why am I wasting my time? That picture is another example of three in one. You got a body, right? You have a mind. You have a soul. You're built just in His image. Whenever you doubt God, I want you to pull that selfie out during this series and go, I'm the temple, and I'm built just like Him. I'm three in one, too. I'm a shamrock. I'm pudding. I'm whatever you want to be. I'm just like God. And it's time to let Him inhabit me again. Right. His word is saturated with sayings like the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, you know, God's Spirit. But I think problem, and I'll take my 5 more minutes left, is kind of talk about one of the problems. We start talking about the Holy Spirit. People get caught up in the gifts. They really do. They want to talk about the Holy Spirit because they want to get caught up in the gifts of God. You know, we can get stuck in the gifts of God. Like, religious symbols can grab a hold of you, right? I think some pictures of the Holy Spirit we're going to put up in a little bit. I think so. You can go throw one of them up. That's a symbol, right? The oil, it says in the Word of God, it's poured out like the Spirit. I'll scriptures next week, trust me, where we haven't gone, I'm going to talk about the oil and the Holy Spirit. You ever heard of that analogy? As the Holy Spirit's like oil. And then, well, when Pastor lays hands on us, He anoints us with oil sometimes, right? It's great. I have another symbol. Oh, the dove's a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Oh, the dove. You know, I'm glad He told me that, because when I come through here, I'd be killing all sorts of symbols of the Holy Spirit. The pigeons. I kill that thing. Is that a dove or a pigeon? I don't know. Shoot it. We'll sort it out later. You know, I got another picture of the Holy Spirit. I can think of one more. Mighty wind. You know. The problem is these symbols are all great. They're fantastic, and they're true representations in the Word of God. But for centuries, the church, as soon as we start talking about the Holy Spirit and something that symbols the Holy Spirit, we start worshiping symbols. We get caught up in symbols and gifts. How was church today? Well, someone prophesied. It was great. Oh, man, we danced for an hour and a half in the Holy Spirit. Fantastic. Oh, if every service could be that way. We just want to worship. See, it's so hard. Because God starts doing miraculous things, and we want to worship the miraculous things sometimes. And we're going to try to be a church that lets God be God however He wants to, but we're not going to get stuck in religious symbols of how God has to look and do things based on how comfortable we are with it. Because our job is to please the King, right? All right, we'll end with one more scripture. Because I know some of us, it's been dismissing of the Holy Spirit because we've just seen Him as a symbol. I grew up, the Holy Spirit in my denomination was just a symbol. We weren't told the Holy Spirit wanted anything to do with my life. And if He did, He was the Holy Ghost. I was slightly terrified. We had symbols of Him all around the church. There were oil basins and beautiful stained glass doves and shamrocks even. But I dismiss the Holy Spirit as even being real. Ever do that? Not needed today. That was back then. Acts. That's the book of Acts. Say, stay out of the ditch. Got to stay out of the ditch. Zechariah 4:6. Good. 1 minute left. I'll close with this one. Then he said to me, Zechariah 4:6. Bob's like, Pastor, you're bouncing all around. I can't keep up. Zechariah 4:6 in the Amplified. And then he said to me, hold up. Do you hear from God? Wait a minute, I'm talking to his church. Hold on, that was too much silence. I'm talking to people who say, I am his church and I want his spirit. And I just asked you, do you hear from God? Let's start there. During this series, I want you to seek hearing from God like you never have sought hearing from God before. I want you to be plagued by it. I want it to be the passion of your life during this series that you're going, God, I'm going to hear you if it costs me everything. This is my season to hear from God. We have to because we are his church. Pastor just doesn't have to hear from God so every Sunday I can get something from him, deliver fresh to you so you can be nurtured and nourished. And so that's part of my job. But you have a job too. That's greater than my job. Then he said to me, you know, I can't get off it. If you desire to be hear God, there's one thing that's going to help you. Get closer to him. It is so hard to hear Pastor Heidi when she's in the shower shouting something to me from across the house. Oh, I forgot your towel. Sorry, babe. It was much easier to hear when I was in the same room with her. Sometimes we're not in the same room with God, but we're asking to hear him. God, if you'll just shout a little louder, I'll hear you. And God's going, I'm only going to talk how I'm going to talk. Why? Because it pleases the king to talk like this. So if you want to hear the king, get a little closer. This is your series to get a little closer. God can't get any closer than being in you. You may have been jacked up by past church experiences and past whatever. This is the season to smash all that idols, to crash all the flakiness, to do one thing alone, Miss Blanche. Seek to hear from God. During this series, seek to hear from God, not from pastor. I'm going to blow it. I may keep you long. I don't know. I'm going to have guest speakers come in. Pastor Jody's got a couple things. I'll have her launch during this series. It's going to be great. But if you don't seek God to hear him for yourself during this series, it's just going to be wind. It's going to be another stained glass window in your life. One more picture of oil instead of having. Then he said to me, this continual supply of oil is the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, prince, saying, not by might, say not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. How's it get done? By our mighty, mighty, mighty ways. I am so powerful. I am the best preaching, teaching pastor in the world. I have degrees. I am. You are nothing without God. It is not by might or power that you're going to cause a revolution in anyone's life. Not by might. Not by power. But by my spirit. Right? By my spirit, of whom the oil is just a symbol of the Lord of hosts. Let's close right there. Go ahead and stand with me. I'm going to stand down here with you. We'll let Pastor Sharon be elevated above us since she's dressed way nicer than me. Maybe this doesn't apply to you. Maybe you never let the Holy Spirit just be a symbol in your life. Maybe you've been baptized and never let back Your gas tank is so full of the Holy Spirit. You have to, every week, you're so submitted that you can't even, you would just take over the church. You'd be laying hands on the sick, and you're just so fired up. Power of God's rolling in your life. Disciples, enemies are being discipled, baptized. Like, it's hard for them, people not to collect around you because God is so evident in your life. Maybe that's where you're at. But maybe you need more of God. I do. And I want the genuine thing. I don't want to be sold nothing. I don't want to be talked into nothing. I want to experience the power of God in my life again like I haven't before. And I've experienced some of it. I'm asking for more. And I don't even know what that looks like. More scares me because I've seen a lot. I've seen a lot. I've been involved in a lot. I've seen the dead raised. I've seen God do things. And I settled for that was enough. There's never enough of God to go around for me. I need more. If you want Emmanuel in your life, and this is the series for you, and you're invested of trashing every symbol in your life and getting the real deal so deep in you again that you can't help but ooze God out of your life, would you raise your hand with me? I'm here this morning with your people. And I'm being vulnerable. God, not by might, not by money, not by vision, not by numbers, but by your Spirit. So we're asking, Father, that throughout this series, you continue to pour into us and make us the temple that you called us to be, that your dwelling place could have everything in it that pleases the King. Make us a church that's full of your presence, with a heart to please the King. We're not flaky. We're not fanatical. We are filled to overflowing. Fill us, Father God. Fill us, Father God, in Jesus' name.